lovely people. It's me, Mabel Whispers, back again. And for today, I wanted to do something nice and cozy for the holidays. So I thought I would read some holiday themed stories to you. I'm going to be reading The Grinch, and then The Gift of the Magi, and then I will be finishing with 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. I will be softly speaking for most of it, but whispering every once in a while. Just a reminder that I do have a YouTube channel if you guys would like to see some video content from me. And the link for that is in the video description. But let's get into it. Hope you guys enjoy. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. Whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled, with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, he knew, all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise. Oh, the noise. Noise, noise, noise. That's the one thing he hated. The noise. Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to a feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast. 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 They would feast. was something that the Grinch could not stand in the least. And then they'd do something that he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Who's would start singing, and they'd sing. The more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years, I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. I know just what to do. The Grinch laughed in his throat. He made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. He chuckled and clucked. What a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer. The Grinch looked round. But since reindeer are scarce, there was none to be found. Did that stop the old Grinch? No. The Grinch simply said, if I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. So he called his dog Max. Then he took some red thread. And he dyed a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded some bags and some empty old sacks on a ramshackle sleigh. And he hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said, giddy up. And the sleigh started down toward the homes where the Who's lay a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark. Quiet snow filled the air. All the Who's were all dreaming sweet dreams without care. When he came to the first little house on the square, this is stop number one, the old Grinchy Claus hissed. And he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch. But if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings all hung in a row. These stockings he grinned, are the first things to go. Then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant. He stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch, very nimbly, stuffed all the bags, one by one, up the chimney. Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's Feast. He took the Who Pudding. He took the Roast Beast. He cleaned out that icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who Hash. Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. And now, grinned the Grinch, I will stuff up the tree. And the Grinch grabbed the tree, and he started to shove, when he heard a small sound, like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast, and he saw a small Who, little Mindy Who, who was not more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter who'd got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, Sandy Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why? But you know, that old Grinch was so smart and so slick. He thought up a lie, and he thought it up quick. Why, my sweet little tot, the fake Sandy Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here. And his fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went back to the chimney and stuffed the tree up. The last thing he took was the log for their fire. Then he went up the chimney himself. On their walls, he left nothing but hooks and some wire. And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. Then he did the same thing to the other Who's houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who's mouses. It was 11:15, all the who's still abed, and the who's still asnooze, when he packed up his sled. Packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrapping, the tags and the tinsel, the trimmings, the trappings. 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Pooh-pooh to the who's, he was grinchously humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouth will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo. That is a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused. And the Grinch put his hand to his ear, and he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow, but the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes, then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same, and the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without and he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes. He brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. The Gift of the Magi. Della and Jim were married just a year. They had very little money, and their place was poor. But what they lacked in fancy things, they made up for with love. The very next day was Christmas. All the money Della had to buy a gift for her dear husband was $1.87. "What on earth can I buy with that?" she asked. Turning around, she saw her reflection in the mirror. Stepping up to the mirror, she stared at her reflection. "At least Jim loves my long, beautiful hair," she said, taking a spin. "He calls me his queen." Then she stopped cold. "Some queen I am," she said, with just $1.87 to spend on a gift for my husband. Then, all at once, Della knew what she must do. Very fast, she put on her cloak and rushed out of the apartment. She ran down the street to a shop where wigs were made. A sign read, "We buy hair." "Tell me," Della asked the shopwoman, "how much will you pay me for my hair?" "Come step inside," said the shopwoman, "and let me see it." Della stepped inside the shop and took off her cloak. Down fell her long, thick hair. "My, my," said the shopwoman. "I will pay you $20 for your lovely long hair." At last, with the $20 in her pocket and the $1.87 from before, Della could go shopping. But what should she get her husband? The one thing Jim loved best in all the world was his golden pocket watch. It had come from his father and his father's father before that. Sometimes, when Jim did not think anyone could see, he took out that golden pocket watch, turned it over, and rubbed it with care. Della knew this because she saw him do it. Then Della saw the perfect gift, a golden chain for his pocket watch. For $21, she bought the gold watch chain. With that chain hooked up to Jim's pocket watch, the watch could not fall out of his pocket, and everyone could see the shiny gold chain, too. That night, when Jim came home, Della rushed up to give him the gift she had bought. Yet, when he saw his wife's short hair on her face, a frown appeared where he had smiled before. Oh, do not worry, husband, she cried. My hair grows back quickly. Then before she could give Jim her gift, he handed his wife a small box. Della untied the ribbon and opened it. Inside were two beautiful hair combs. They were the very same ones she had mooned over many times in the store windows, but they cost far too much money. Now, they were the gift that her dear husband had given her. Then, Della handed Jim her box. Now your turn, she said. When Jim opened it and saw the gold watch chain, he had to sit down. Don't you like it? Said his wife. Of course I do, said Jim. But you see, I sold my watch so I could buy you the two hair combs. And I sold my hair to buy you the watch chain, said Della. Jim and Della had both given up the one thing they held most dear for the sake of the other. And now they had nothing to show for it. Or did they? My queen, said Jim, taking his wife's hands into his own and looking into her eyes. My dear husband, said Della, with love. Was the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in the hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled, all snug, in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama, in her kerchief, and I, in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the roof there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutter and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to the objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment that it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, as the leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and Saint Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney Saint Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed, like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings and turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose, exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Well, I hope that you all enjoyed your Christmas bedtime stories. I know some of you don't necessarily celebrate Christmas in one way or another, and some of you might be having a rough holiday period, especially because of everything that's going on in the world right now. But I just wanted to say that I really hope that you guys least some sense of hope and positivity and joy throughout this holiday season. Even if it's just a small little bit. So at least from me to you, I do genuinely wish that you have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, and a joyous New Year, wherever you are and whatever you're going through. Well, again, this was Maple Whispers. Please leave us a comment if you enjoyed this episode. And a reminder that if you would like to see more from me, feel free to check out my YouTube channel. But I will see you guys soon.